Some people may not be in the financial situation to do coaching, to do all of these things. That's why we put out these podcasts. That's why I put out these free resources, because I was once at that point where I didn't have options. I relied on other great leaders out there, seeing how they go about their business, and then slowly putting little pieces of them and molding it to be your own.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Vincent Lancey. He is a podcast producer, CEO, MBA, like he's just, there's too many to go on. He's just a really impressive dude for his company, Coming Alive Podcast Production. He was actually, if you can see, if you're watching this, you get the extra benefit on his shirt, says Left 4 Dead Incorporated. He was hit by a car, Left 4 Dead. It changed his life, as a lot of near-death experiences can. Super smart guy, finance, MBA, all those things, but decided to dedicate his life to podcasting, helping others do the same. He's got a top 2% podcast. Like, it's just, it's super impressive. I actually got the honor of being a guest, so go check that out. But welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Kenny, it's so great to see you again. And thank you so much for having me on your show this time. Everyone, this guy's an absolute rock star. Keep supporting his show. Help it grow, because he's dedicating a lot of time to it, finding guests, creating meaningful conversations. So I'm a big fan of yours, Kenny. Thank you.
Thanks so much. And I'll Apple Cash you the $20 for that endorsement. Just kidding. Well, tell me, Vincent, today, what is on your mind?
Oh, on my mind, as we're recording this, was just a tornado watch here in Florida. I was over visiting my aunts and cousin in Fort Lauderdale. I'm over in St. Petersburg on the runway for 5 hours, ended up Ubering 4 hours to get back today, especially for this call. Had to continue my work day. That's on my mind. But professionally, I am amped about my Coming Alive Podcast Productions growth. We are onboarding Tampa General Hospital this week. So we're getting their podcast going in their PFAC department, Patient Family and Advisory Council. I've been honored to serve on that council as an advisory member. And as things started picking up on the podcast production side, there was a lot of mutual overlap. And now I am stoked to have my team lead the way and amplify the great work that TGH does. As he mentioned my story in the beginning, that's where I went after I was hit by the car, woke out of a coma almost a week later, and they helped me retrain myself and get back to life. So it's an honor to now be working with them on the other side of things.
Yeah, man, what a rewarding opportunity to when you get to give back to those that gave you so much.
Absolutely.
Tell me a bit about the podcast production company. I mean, before we hit record, you said like you're sort of expanding how you've been doing things, and obviously you've got two successful podcasts that you've been building. So what's the aim with this sort of new turn and expansion?
Great question. When I stopped pursuing my corporate dreams, I started writing and podcasting. I got a lot of fulfillment out of it. Now here we are 4.5 later, as I'm getting this awesome conversation on Kenny's show. I get more fulfillment out of watching someone else do it now. I ghostwrite books for people. I haven't put my own stuff out in a while. I've now ghostwritten one book shy of how many I've put out on my own. I get a lot of joy of helping people cross that finish line, whether it's a ghostwriting capacity or just book coaching. It's so much fun for me to have people order that first author copy, excuse me, and just have it in their hand and let me know that feeling. As far as podcasting, that's just the trend that's been going up and up and up. People love to consume their information on podcasts. With a click of a button, your message is out to the entire world. So I love helping people get their message out that way. As a solopreneur, my budget options were very limited in the beginning. I didn't like the opportunities that were presented to me at the time. So rather than sitting around and waiting, launch these podcasts, I wanted to make a difference with my story, but also other people's stories. As he mentioned, he was on that entrepreneur show. His experience is so inspiring. And every listener out there, maybe from where he's from, it may be a part of his journey that resonates with them most. Something may click with them, and Kenny may be that little piece of advice, that motivation they needed to turn their dreams into reality. So you won't find a bigger podcast advocate than me. I'm just, again, very fortunate now to help other people follow the same trajectory, get their message out to a bigger audience than just their social followings. And as you see by my smile, I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, well, you've got to find joy, because anything worth doing is probably going to be hard, yeah. Right? You know, my wife and I talk about one of our family core values is we do hard things. And it's usually because there's something fulfilling, rewarding, you know, that benefits not just you, because you get that feeling and that's great, but you get to see other people take their steps towards something that they want to do. And that's what I hear you saying is you're getting so much more fulfillment out of watching other people reach their goals and maybe receiving the help you wish you had early on when you were getting going. Is that fair to say?
I am very fortunate to have some amazing mentors. I'll even plug Dave Scott, Lee, some of my earlier mentors, Rod, my career coach for 14 years. They give amazing advice, but as far as being in the podcast realm, the book realm, that just wasn't their expertise. Everybody's an expert or a master in certain areas. So I think the least we can do as people is find ways to pay that forward. And it's not just in the coaching for me where, okay, some people may not be in the financial situation to do coaching, to do all of these things. That's why we put out these podcasts. That's why I put out these free resources, because I was once at that point where I didn't have options. I relied on other great leaders out there, seeing how they go about their business, and then slowly putting little pieces of them and molding it to be your own. But that's the coolest part about entrepreneurship. It's the one industry where the egos are put aside. I was in corporate finance. You want to one-up the person next to you. You want to not seem like the weakest link, but in entrepreneurship, oh, what are you doing? How can I help? You open up your network. Oh, let's connect someone here. I may know someone for this. And that's, again, the beauty of podcasting and writing that bring the worlds together that I live in.
Yeah. No, I really, really love that give first sort of attitude and mentality. Now, taking this into how other leaders are perceiving this, obviously with bringing on your hospital group that you're working with, they're seeing the benefit in, hey, if we tell stories, if we interview others, if we share more of this out in the world in a medium that seems to be pretty popular right now, then we're getting the opportunity to help more people. And I feel like that's fairly clear, but I still think that there are organizations that maybe they're not, there's some mentality blocking the way from taking a step into whether it is writing a book, even a short book of some sort, 10,000 words. I know that sounds like a big number, but 10,000 words is maybe what, like 100 pages or something like that. And that's small in the book world. Or just starting a podcast where, you know, you and I started as solopreneurs with, you don't have a ton of money, but now you got mostly a recording studio in your pocket if you need it. So what is the mentality that is stopping leaders from stepping into these mediums that would allow them to get their message out and potentially help more people?
There are many reasons. Some companies, some individuals, they are not stuck in their ways, but they have found success with certain areas where they may not think this is a necessary step. As I'm sure you can relate to, change is obviously a scary thing. Not a lot of people want to dive first into that, but as podcasts have been increasing, and big shout out to Chris Kremitzos that founded PodFest over 10 years ago. Events started with a very small amount of people. Now thousands and thousands of people go. He's renting out hotels in Orlando, Florida. Podcasting is just, it's a way to express yourself. And I think more and more people are seeing that. It's a different type of marketing that you normally do than print and traditional ads. It's something that once you try it, you become a guest on a podcast. You see the value of, hey, I got my message out to a targeted audience. Your network knows what you do, and they either are your targeted supporters or you're not. There's no hard feelings. But when you guest on a podcast, people that are listening to that show, they really care about what you have to say. So now trying to do that for other people, especially with the hospitals, where whether you went through something or a family member did or a friend, we all have a story to share, and everybody's experience can impact somebody else's directly or indirectly. My mom was with me in the hospital every day. My sister had to see what happened to me. My friends, all of these things. This happens to, I'm not the only person to ever get hit by a car. There are tons of warriors out there that are sharing their stories just like me. But man, I hope that answers it. I think that with a podcast, you can now get your message out to so many people that didn't know it existed, that are scrolling through the podcast directories. Getting back to that social media example, you have a following. They already know what you do. They either care or they don't. Let's really target that message from now on rather than just shooting a million darts, hoping one sticks, as I did in the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey with my story for that same reason. Yeah. I didn't want to miss any money. I know my story can relate to a lot of people, but that's not the way it works. My story, yes, can affect a lot of people in a great way, but my message is strongest with students, and I lean into that. I go to schools with my books, and I share my story. Hey, I'm not preaching to you. I'm not an adult coming to lecture you. I'm someone who is in your shoes, and this is something that happened to me. I wanted to just share my perspective, and hopefully that it molds some things in the correct way for you as you age. I was a kid. I was very impressionable. Many kids are. So having someone who says, hey, you'll be okay, I think can help a lot of people.
Absolutely. I've encountered this just because of my marketing agency background, is that I would get resistance from leaders who would say, well, I don't know that I have anything interesting to say. I don't want to be on camera. I hate my voice. But or they'll go the other direction. They're so locked into it. Because it's just like, oh, that's the next marketing thing. That's the next marketing channel. And we got to do that. And unfortunately, podcasts can turn into just a pitch slap fest. So which is a different type of festival from the one you described. So what about those people? Maybe not so much. We can address those with maybe harsher words spoken softly. To those that see it as just another marketing ploy to pitch their services and thinly veiled. But what about those that are like, I know I listen to these big podcasts, but I could never be as big as them. I'm not going to be a top 2%, 1% podcast. I don't have a million followers, let alone 100. What do you talk to those people about? What questions are you asking them to sort of unlock, like, how it can be beneficial to them and that they can see the value in what they have to say?
Sounds like a situation I was in for a long time. That's that itty bitty committee talking to us in our head, telling us that this, that, why should we do this? What do we have to say? I promise you, I was the same way. Your story will impact more people than you think. I didn't think that my story would. Then I had the honor of speaking at my MBA commencement. I saw the feedback I got. I realized this is way bigger than me. This is way, way bigger than me. And with podcasting, with the message of there may be too many, there's this, that, there are over 4 million, I think, podcasts out there. But I think it's like 95% don't have 10 episodes. It has to be something where if you commit, you commit. If you don't have the time or the resources to do it, you bring on someone like me and my team. With that, consistency is everything. Where if you do, and you know, you're a great job at this, you keep putting out episodes, you keep getting guests, people are going to start tuning into your stuff. A lot of people need to see something, including myself, a bunch of times before I buy something or a bunch of times before I do something. It's that impressions rule where how do you justify a Super Bowl commercial with all those millions of dollars? Because you're getting millions of views. Millions of people are now seeing that impression again and again. With podcasting, it's the same way, and you can be your authentic self. People, and I do a lot of shout outs. I hope you don't mind. I love to
credit where it's due.
Jerry, book coaching client turned great friend, reassured me that people have a great authenticity sniffer. If you're not yourself, if you're not writing yourself, you're not talking yourself, people are going to tune out. If you have just an inch of motivation to share your story in a bigger level, podcasting can be done. And I'm not kidding. My first however many episodes are done with a $40 headset. That was it. You don't need to buy all this fancy equipment. Riverside, we're recording on now, is great, but that's something you work your way up to. I still do a bunch on Zoom. I still do so many things that have no cost. So there is all these perceived barriers, I think, as well, with, oh, I need X, Y, Z. I need this, that. You literally just need an internet connection and a headset. Or if you're in person, you have your phone, you click record with a stand, you get lapel mics, LAPEL, I think it is, from Amazon for $10. You clip it in here. You put it in the other end of your phone and you can start podcasting. You'd be surprised that your willingness to do it will increase after you do the first one. Like many other things, how scary are you to ride a roller coaster? All these things. Yeah. Do the podcast. I hope this is the motivation you need to just take that next step. Not hiring anybody. Just try it on your own. I cringe when I have listened to my earlier shows. I sound like a robot. I'm reading a script, yada, yada, yada. You don't know until you try. You can't make adjustments till you fail. and you learn from that, and then you move forward and you make a little bit better next time. I think that's entrepreneurship also in a nutshell, Kenny.
Yeah. Well, I might even take it a step further and argue that that's what makes a really healthy human is taking steps. It's non-fatal failure, right? Like having a bad podcast episode is not going to, you're not going to die because of it. People talk about dying from embarrassment. It makes me think a lot of people have a fear of public speaking. Jerry Seinfeld in one of his stand-ups said that he saw a study where people were more afraid of speaking publicly than they were of death. He goes, that means that if you're at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy, which seems crazy when you put it that way. You're like, No, I would rather be alive. I guess I'll risk this. But to risk a little something, and for business leaders, I would say you've already risked something. You continue to risk something by being in business, especially if you're the owner, right? Like entrepreneur, part of the root word of that means to assume risk.
Yep.
So it's in the language, but I think for anybody, if you have a story to tell, if you have a curiosity even. So my thing is like, I have things that I think, and I could record a whole bunch of episodes solo that I think on one level or another could provide value, right? I coach for a living. You do that too. You could just solo do this. But I'm really curious when I meet people who are taking a different perspective, when people are seeing the world through a different lens. And what I want, maybe selfishly, if nobody listens to this, maybe I'll get smarter. I mean, absolutely. If there's hope for me, there's hope for everybody else. So what I would say is just jump out there. For me, I'm better speaking than I am writing. Some people feel really intimidated by the blank screen, but I would say, If you're in business or even if you're leading a nonprofit, if someone said, hey, what do you think about this, that, and the other thing? You have no problem talking to them, asking them questions, getting to know them, doing those things. You have the skills that you need is what I would tell somebody. When someone's getting started, right? Like you address the, hey, you can go really low cost. If you and your team are working with somebody, and I assume you do some measure of coaching on how they can improve, not just the technical quality of it, but the skills required, what are some of those early skills that you see people find quick wins with?
I give basic advice and I'll give the freebies out here. The first is being mindful of your filler words. And this is a speaking advice that was given to me. Some use like, some do a lot. There's many words. I'm guilty of it as well. Being mindful of that. And is the other one, active listening, similar to how you and I have this banter where you're rebounding off what I say. In the beginning of my podcasting career, I had those talking points where I would just, okay, question two. Like, it's bad, man. It's bad. But hey, I started podcasting without ever listening to one show in my life because I wanted my show to be so unique. There are pros and cons of that approach. I don't recommend that approach, but it goes back to being unique. When you're going out here, you're putting yourself out there. It can be scary. I promise the only people who will ever criticize you are people who aren't also putting some kind of content out there. It is not easy getting yourself out in front of a camera. As much as I am doing these things and I do my speakings, people are surprised to learn I don't necessarily like being in front of the camera. It's not something I like being behind the scenes now producing these podcasts, right? So just go out there, like he said, go out there and do it. And if you mess up the first episode, so what? If you weren't a good active listener, so what? The big thing I work with in my coaching packages is no matter what, you get run through the course with my onboarding coach. And then after that course, even though we're doing the work, you have to feel comfortable with the process. From there, we do our mock interviews. You're the host, I'm the guest. And then we do another one where my team member comes on with me and you practice with two guests. We get the kinks out because my goal as a podcast coach, producer, is for you to be as confident and as happy as possible, loving what you do, because we got to get past those 10 episodes. I don't even launch the series until we have 6, because as you know, you scramble for guests. You have these arbitrary deadlines in your head as entrepreneurs. We're so hard on ourselves and we make these deadlines that no one else knows or care about. And we have to scramble like, oh, I don't have a show this week. Oh, in the beginning, I was over a perfectionist, recovering perfectionist. Now I need to do 3 a week. I need to make 2 social media reels. I need to do all these things. And like, no podcast format is the rule. There is no rules in podcasting. Your show can go as long as it wants. It can be any structure, as we both don't really do solo shows, but you can do solo shows if you want. You can do weekend shows, night shows. There are no rules in podcasting. So again, be your authentic self. Get out there. And remember, when you're speaking, no one knows you made a mistake besides you. No one knows what you're going to say. No one knows what script you have in front of you. So don't be too hard on yourself, because I was for a very long time.
I'm in that recovering perfectionist boat as well. And instead of rowing forward, I would just beat myself with the boat paddle. And I love what you said about nobody knows what you're supposed to say. I learned that I was out of college and I was doing door-to-door sales to businesses for electricity. It was like offering, and Texas heat. I mean, I know you're in Florida, so you feel me on the heat in the summer, and you're walking up and down the road and people don't want to hear you. But I had a script that we were taught by my manager, and he went out with me one day and I fumbled over my words. I sounded like an idiot. I had a lot of uhs, and it was horrible. And we get out there and he said, "Look, like when we practice, you're fine." He goes, "Remember, they have no idea about the script that we practiced this morning. They don't know what you're supposed to say. You could literally make up anything and they believe that that's the right thing." He said, "Now, that doesn't mean we lie, but it does mean that they're listening to you. You can say what you need to say. And if you said something a little different, that's fine. They don't know you went off script. It's improv." So I love that. Now, talk to me a little bit about with the production studio, like as you're expanding, like how is that changing for you? And maybe what are you learning as now a seasoned entrepreneur? What things are new? What things are you learning in taking this move and this pivot? Because pivots can be quite scary, even if you've done well previously. You're leaving a bit of a comfort zone into a new adventure.
Yeah, well, I hope to inspire some of you listening on, because I started, as I said, at my MBA commencement in 2015. I didn't formalize everything for a corporation until 2019. So don't beat yourself up about what you have done. Just get started. Mm-hmm. From there, I podcast, I write, all passions of mine, but I can't really sell this company at some point. It's all me. So how can I build something meaningful that operates without me? The podcast production studio, I use my systems in place that have streamlined my processes from networking to get the guests all the way through rinse and repeat and enjoy. It's just getting into that process with somebody else and seeing it from a third person now, seeing how it does function and operate. That's what I'm giving to the world. They get out there now. They get on their podcast horse. Eventually, my goal is for them to put me out of business, right? You're going to be on your own. You've learned enough skills that you can go out there and do it yourself. At the same time, I mentioned so many podcasts don't get past 10 episodes. If you are committed, find a way to have your marketing budget reflect some help in podcasting. For me, as I expand, now are we starting to make certain guarantees? Yes, I guarantee that you get yourself in the top 10% in the globe. I need your audio to be more than just my end sounding good, if that makes sense. I've been on podcasts where some people, my team just can't make the sound improve. No matter all the things they do to it, they don't sound official. So we'll give you headsets if we need. We'll give you the mic if you need. I want you to feel comfortable with your finished product where you put out the podcast. If you say, "Damn, I sound not good," guy or girl you have on the show sounds awesome, chances are you're going to be discouraged from the process and keep going. So as I evolve and as I continue to pivot, I have to have more value adds. There are a lot of other podcast production companies out there. I didn't really know about any of them until I started researching my competitors, but I still have not found any that are run by a top global podcaster with two top 5% shows. I don't know of any that do the We Come to You package, which I'm doing with Tampa General. My team member brings the equipment that you don't have. They actually go there. They monitor the whole thing. You get reels with your package, so they make sure we have enough video for the reels, the clients that want full video. Expanding these offers that no one else does, there are other companies that are awesome companies, but they're going to pride themselves on, "Oh, I was a great videographer. I have the awesome camera, which we do have as well, but you don't know any of the things that are going to happen in the conversation. You don't know how to act on your feet if a situation does come up. Life happens. Curveballs get thrown every day. Someone who's been through the entire experience, I bootstrapped for over 2.5 years, did everything myself, had a full-time job for free. Now, we've done it all. I've done it all. My team has done it all. And I love just overseeing the clients. Of course, got an awesome team. Julie is my onboarding coach who I had on my show a long time ago, met at PodFest. Got Alyssa here in Tampa as my podcast coordinator for the in-person sites. It is just a lot of fun. So it will be continuing to expand as I'm finally interviewing some potential partners for the operation. I know I can't do it myself. And again, it may be a surprise to people. I don't like to sell just because I talk and I'm on camera. I'm not a sales guy. It's just never been my jam. So bringing on someone who has experience building sales teams and building companies is at a priority for me right now. So a lot of things are going to continue to get shaken up with the business. But right now, finding ways to be unique and offer those extra services are ways that I'm going to continue to pivot, Kenny.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it sounds like you're focused on within the pivot, you're still learning new things, but you're gaining clarity on what are the things that only I can do. And then in my opinion, you didn't say this, but you're demonstrating humility and saying, I know that there are things I don't know or don't know well, and that could hurt me and hurt the growth. So I'm going to bring on these people that I think can help me build this into the vision I have, which is a pivot point, no matter if you're changing the nature of the business or just trying to, you know, increase the scale. I think that is a tough thing to do, but can be, as I think everybody can hear in your voice and see in your face, that there's a lot of excitement about that. And yeah, and there should be, right? Like, if nobody wants to talk to Eeyore, like, we're expanding, we've got new value at, like, nobody wants to talk to that person or see an entrepreneur that, you know, gets the life beat out of them, which happens from time to time. It's not all, you know, smiles and unicorns every day.
No, it's not.
Now, nor do I wish it to be necessarily. So with the expansion, you're finding some unique positioning in the marketplace with other, you know, podcast production studios, and not taking anything away from them, but just, your background's much different. Yes. You're not coming from the production side. I would love for you to give the listener a sense of, from credibility, yes, you can say top 2%, 10%, 5%, all these things. Those can be tough to really conceptualize. Like, what does that mean? From just a volume perspective, how many episodes have you put out so far?
Oh my goodness. That entrepreneur show, as you're recording this, 370 episodes.
Okay.
A mental health break, 250-ish. And then Writing with Authors, my YouTube series I've launched because I had the itty bitty committee with Instagram and the shiny object syndrome. I was just like, I'm not YouTube. That's not for me. I did it. Launched Writing with Authors just to show some love to other writers out there. Mm-hmm. So all together, I guess that's like 800 almost. And
wow,
out of that 800, 600, 500 were all me having to just learn how to do it. And I'm not a tech guy. I called Apple when I started podcasting. I said, hey, I got GarageBand on my computer. I have no idea what it is, but I know I can edit a podcast on it. Please teach me the things that I need to know in GarageBand. And it may sound like a simple thing to do to call customer service, but I called them and like, blah, 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 blah. I know how to do it. And now, I mean, the team uses different software, of course, because that's what they do professionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't afford at one point to partner with people, collaborate with people. Now, as we grow, you have to delegate what I suck at, what I don't have time to do. And 10 months ago, just to give, I hope, some more motivation, I was still picking up 2 days a week in the restaurant to make ends meet in these low peaks. I was relying on school speaking, and that was these things. And now I haven't picked up a restaurant shift since that time. And I've got 9 people on my team on the podcast production side.
Wow.
So I say that as humbly as possible, because I want to let everyone know that no matter what you're doing right now, if there is something that you want to do on your own, just get started. There will never be a better time. COVID happened. No one expected that. If you said, oh, it's not a good economic time. Well, COVID happened. You sink or swim. You got to keep going or you're going to be out. So please, everyone out there, keep listening to podcasts like Kenny's because they're going to help set you up for success. And to finish that with the volume standpoint, there's more than 4 million podcasts, but if you use 4 million for easy math, top 2% is 80,000 out of the 4 million to get up there.
Wow.
Now, that's just been weekly episodes for 4.5 years. It may sound tedious, but as you know, in entrepreneurship, you have to show up every day. Consistency is everything. Mm-hmm. And if there's something you want, go out there and do it. Time block the time. I mean, you see my chicken scratch, but there's a lot of time blocking going on here. I've got a separate whiteboard that I do every day, 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. Everything is accounted for before bed. I challenge you, if you're struggling with getting a lot of stuff done in the day, try time blocking everyone. Put in 30 minutes recording a podcast, 30 minutes editing a podcast. Do whatever, and you'll be surprised. You might earn a new skill set that you can add value to other people with.
Yeah, that's really good. So, Vincent, we've shared a lot. You've communicated quite a bit that I think should encourage. I'm encouraged, man. I'm jazzed up. I've barely drank my coffee, so I'm ready to jump out this window right now and go do something. But if someone's listening and they say, this is great, this is what I need. I was right there on the edge, and this is gonna help me take that step to jump out and do this. What's the first step? If somebody wants to, whether it's podcasting, writing a book, but they say, I'm ready to get my story out there and start having these sort of public conversations that could help my brand, but help others that I'm purposed to help. What would you tell them to do in the next 24 hours that would cost them little to no money?
Well, I would say, I'm not going to say just get started. I'm going to give you something a little more tactical than that. On the writing side, open up a Word document and look at the blank page, feel flustered, get all the negative emotions out of the way. Set a 5-minute timer. Just start dumping on the page what comes to mind for 5 minutes. Remember, you don't have to keep something in one place. We are very fortunate to live in the digital era. We're not on a typewriter. Copy and paste later. Just get it out on the piece of paper. Set a writing goal 5 minutes a day. Up that to 10 minutes a day. Up that to whatever you get to 20 or 30, then pick a day of the week where, okay, Tuesdays at 11 a.m., you start training your brain. I'm going to work on my book from there. Before you know it, in a month, you'll have a ton of freaking work and you won't believe what you have there. And from there, you'll have a clear picture of what you want to say. You know where you want to start. You know where you want to finish. Organize that into a clear table of contents. And I promise, like, especially over a quarter, you might have a book. It's really, really as simple as that. But you can't look at goals at the end. I got to write a whole book. No, you just have to get your first paragraph done. You got to get those first pages done. And then you got your first chapter done. Now you're like, I'm cooking, Kenny, I'm cooking. now you're amped up and you're going to write the next chapter. And then you're going to write the next one. And before you know it, I mean, my first book was like 75,000 words before cuts. The Perfectionist at an all-time high, rereading the book to change it to synonyms in the sentence because I was in my head, the itty bitty committee. Remember, there'll never be a perfect book. There'll never be a perfect podcast. There'll never be a perfect anything. When you feel good, put it out into the world. As far as podcasting, reach out to 5 people, either people who you think would be a good guest or 5 people who are a terrible guest but have a huge network, someone you feel comfortable picking their brain. It's not about, and this is my big opening slides in the core onboarding deck, you can't think small like I did and very narrow where, oh, Kenny's not an entrepreneur. He's not someone to talk to enthusiastically about my show. Kenny may have a wife who's an entrepreneur. He may have a family full of entrepreneurs. He may have a fraternity brotherhood of entrepreneurs. You don't know what they have. Get out there. If you're shy about talking about the podcast, you're not podcasting about the right thing, right? You're not passionate enough. Mm-hmm. If you aren't passionate enough, it won't go 10 episodes. If you're not passionate enough, you'll be the 90% of entrepreneurs or whatever the number is now who don't go past year two. You have to love what you do, and there will be no money at first. You will work a ton for free at first. Everybody will not doubt you, but you have zero credibility. So you got to figure out a way to put it into high gear. Who can you start networking with? Who can you start collaborating with? What little things can you do now? And I'll shout out Milani on the Maxwell team, big supporter of mine on the podcast a few times. She talks about doing something for 14 minutes a day, incrementally. She has had her church group for 1,700 days in a row at 7:30 in the morning for that time spent. She meets people. Everything she does is a little bit better every day. And that consistency eventually boils over to something like that. So I got to show her love. I hope that was what you're looking for, Kenny. I hope that was simple enough.
Yeah. No, those are hyper, hyper practical. So if you're writing's your thing, and maybe you said, I've always wanted to write a book. I got a book in me somehow. I got to get it out. 5 minutes, set that timer for 5 minutes. I actually have like one of those little, whatever timers, and you can set it and just go and just stream of consciousness. It may be the dumbest thing you've ever written, but guess what? You wrote, and it's about building the discipline. And then go talk to five people. Like, That's something that it sounds dumb, because I've been in sales and entrepreneurship for 15 years. But I heard Alex Hormozi say something similar to what you had just said, which is go talk to people and say, well, do you know somebody? Now, if they're a good person to talk to, great, but maybe they know someone. So go talk to five people who could be potential guests or maybe just give you great ideas. So those are easy, they're low cost, and you can do that in the next 24 hours. Vincent, thank you so much for spending some time with me and with our listeners. Lots of great stuff here, lots of great energy. If somebody wants to know more about you, about your production company or Left 4 Dead or anything else that you're doing, where would you send them?
Well, again, thank you so much for inviting me on your show. I had a great time. I hope your audience finds some value in it. Everyone out there, everything's Vincent A. Lancy, vincentalancy.com, socials, free discovery call from hearing me on the show today. Just put Heard you on Kenny's pod. That's Calendly.com/Vincent A. Lancy. For now, at least, I'm still using Calendly. I'm not a big fan of their service, but right now it works. ComingAlivePodcastProduction.com to see a little bit more there. But stay on the lookout for my TED Talk. We're getting ready to come out soon. Stay on the lookout for the great clients that I'm fortunate enough to bring on. I'll be hyping up their stuff as soon as their episodes go live. Very fortunate for everyone I have the chance to work with, collaborate with, and of course, Kenny, you, thanks again for having me on. I always learn a lot from you in our conversations. As you said earlier, every pod I do is the same way. I pick up something from every single person, whether it's a mindset shift or it's a piece of tactical advice. There's always something we can learn from everyone, and everyone out there, your voice and your story is bigger than you give yourself credit for. If you think you want to start a podcast, just do it. I never thought I was going to do more than, a season. I had no goals, but it's turned into a passion of mine. It's turned into a chance for me to connect with people, not only across the country like Kenny, but around the world. And from there, the sky's the limit. Just believe in yourself.
Love it. Well, thank you again so much. And I'm sure we'll have you back on, talk about this TED Talk. All right. Cause I got questions. That's awesome. Cause I'm starting to,
want to
do that. I'm getting the itch, the TED itch. I don't know, that may be a medical thing. We can talk to your hospital people about that. If you got value out of this, and I don't know how you didn't, but if you got value out of this, something specific spoke to you, I would love a subscription, a rate, review, like, and also this is an easy, free, low cost way to help your fellow entrepreneurs, your fellow business leaders, your fellow nonprofit leaders. Get this in front of more people. And anytime you interact with the podcast, it helps achieve that goal. So, and obviously, selfishly, I appreciate it. And I love feedback. And if there's anything that I can be doing better or different, then I want to hear from you. So you can leave that there or find me on LinkedIn. We're going to link up everything for Vincent if you want to go and chat with him, because he's certainly smarter than I am. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.